And you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.3 FM, the station that will soon have an operational studio. Not soon enough for me, because I'm not going to be able to do any call-ins on the Sunday show, this Sunday's March 4th, 2018 show, which is what you're about to listen to. This is all recorded on Saturday, March 3rd, some bits of it before that. We'll be hearing lots of reports around the San Lorenzo campground's destruction and the devastation being wreaked against homeless folks who are attempting to survive in the wake of this police, parks and rec, and city council created disaster. The city manager bears a large responsibility, too. We'll also hear reports on the new Boneyard River Street campground up on Highway 9 as you go out of town. We've talked about that before, that there are more reports from activists like Brent Adams, who will be covering that. Keith McHenry will be describing the adventures of Food Not Bombs activists here and there. And activist Carol Denny from Berkeley will be talking about the persecution of a Berkeley activist herself, actually, and how she has recently come out of the toils of a series of prosecutions, most recently a retrial on a what she describes as a bogus assault charge dropped. We have First That Came for the Homeless activist Stacy, who will also be giving an account, local activist Pat Colby. She'll be bringing us up to date on the trials and tribulations of being in a vehicle outside in Santa Cruz. There'll be a city council update from the last city council meeting, which I spent a little time at, and I'm going to play you some cuts and clips from that. And then there's assorted bits and pieces from other folks, other voices, Adam, Dave, Coral. Well, stay tuned, and you will hear, and who knows, you might enjoy, and you might learn something.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't.
So we're going to be picking up where we left off on Thursday with a look at and a listen to the final day, the official final day, Wednesday, last Wednesday, of the, it was February 28th, of the San Lorenzo campground. And I was getting different interviews with different folks. Just finished talking to a woman named Janine. And KSBW arrived, and they were setting up their cameras and doing little fluff and puff interviews. And also, again, their slant is that of the NIMBY mentality. If you find this when you look at their subsequent broadcasts about how, oh, goodness, 6 tons of trash. Actually, I think they said 8 tons of trash were hauled away, and indicating that campers are getting a good deal up at this replacement campground, this boneyard sort of shoebox substitute that's being provided for campers, for some campers, provided they want to agree not to walk up there, not to have visitors, to have tents that are literally within a few inches of each other. They'll get one meal a day. They'll get some storage, but not the kind of storage that would allow them to store anywhere near what they had down at the previous San Lorenzo camp if they were there, or off in the wilderness if they were trying to do that, although in Santa Cruz, of course, these search and destroy operations of the Santa Cruz police and the Parks and Rec Rangers are notorious, even though there's been a general cessation of that activity, supposedly at least for sleeping, and one has heard at least for some kinds of camping in the last few months. Apparently that was resumed with a vengeance on the 28th, as I feared it would be, and I'm sorry that's the case. I'm right, but so what? It's bad for folks who are outside. Anyway, I'll continue with these interviews. I was given a brief interview. I kind of ran into Phil Gomez, who I chided for essentially not covering anything about the great number of homeless people that are not going to be covered, neither by the current previous San Lorenzo campground in the park that was completely destroyed and removed and fenced off, or the current behind barbed wire and a little bit of razor wire, too, campground up in the Highway 1 area, I mean Highway 9 area, the Boneyard campground. He didn't talk about it, I was concerned the KSBW hasn't been really clarifying that most homeless people are now outside and they're going to be subject to the same kinds of criminalization that they've always been subject to, or at least there's no guarantee they won't, and there seems to be indications that they are. That's the problem. Well, he actually gave me a little snippet, and that was nice. He gave me two sentences. I talked to him for about, I don't know, 30 or 45 seconds. Almost everything I said was cut out. But the voices you're really going to hear now are those of the actual victims of this move from San Lorenzo to River Street, of the few who were moved. And Brent Adams has a lot to say about this later when we interview him. And let's hear some of it.
Interviewed by KSAN or KSBW.
I didn't know.
Chris, what's the story at night? I mean, can people leave at night if they want to?
Yeah, she said she doesn't know.
Or are they going to have to wait till the morning, too, if they decide to leave during the
morning? We're going to have a late shuttle.
And how late does it go to, you know?
Well, it's going to be a 10 o'clock curfew.
And so after that, you got to stay in or wait till the morning?
Yeah, unless you're working.
And we've been talking here with Chris Monteith, who's running the program and seems to be busily trying to sign up people. Is it full at the moment? Or
We are determining that right now. We have people who signed up who have not shown up. So it's kind of a wait-and-see process right now.
Are you living out there or do you live elsewhere?
I live elsewhere.
And Chris Monteith is head of the program under city manager Martine Bernal. Actually, under city manager appointee Susan O'Hara.
And you've been working for the Winter Shelter Program in the past and also with other homeless service groups, yeah?
I have.
What do you make of the program yourself? I mean, you've joined on to it, so obviously you have some confidence in it. What are your concerns about it? What are your hopes for it?
My hope is to provide a safe space for up to 100 people.
What about the rest of the homeless community? What do you advise them to do? Because that's the overwhelming majority. And I'm not holding you responsible for it. I'm just looking for your thoughts.
No, I am not responsible for that.
Right. I mean, to me, this is an excuse to clear this campground, which will serve a lot more people, although not as well as your group will. You know.
Yeah, I mean, they're related, but not the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're just providing a safe space.
I want to apologize right now for suggesting necessarily that that Monteith's campground or the Boneyard campground is actually going to do a better service than for people. It does have some more facilities of a kind, such as showers and such as I guess safety of a certain kind. I mean, they have three levels of policing. They're going to have these newly created hosts, having eliminated the hosts downtown. They're bringing in people from the street, neighborhood street team, I think they're called, or the street team. I don't quite have their name right, but they've been hired at a relatively fancy salary, mostly homeless people, which is good for those individuals, not necessarily good for those who are under them. It depends. And then you have the first alarm security guards who are sort of thugging the entrance. And I use the word that Brent Adams later uses, although I didn't experience any thuggery from them directly in the one occasion I stopped there. It was on, I guess, Thursday afternoon. And then there's a little police department kind of trailer vehicle RV parked on a side street. So there's just this major impression is given that there's some kind of national security threat out there at the this homeless campground. It really is a really nasty thing to do to the homeless population. And if it's intended simply to reassure the paranoia of the very few people who live in that area, and mostly it's just some old businesses along that road, and there's a bus storage yard and so forth, it's kind of sickening, but I suppose kind of typical as to how homeless people are being treated nationwide. Santa Cruz is unfortunately leading things in the bad direction here. Anyway, all this is about essentially apologizing for saying there on the audio segment you just heard that it's sort of a better facilities and kind of schmoozing Chris Monteith about his hopes and his concerns. You know, this is the kind of softball that you throw at people who you're want to maintain nice connections with. I suppose there's an element of that in what I was doing, and I don't like it in myself when I see that happening. Let's hear some more.
And giving people here the opportunity to go there.
I hope you continue also, or you hope you're an advocate for the people who don't get into your place
I've been
as well.
An advocate for the homeless for a long time.
Okay, well, keep it up. I haven't seen you much at City Council, but then what do they do anyway?
Well, yeah, I generally do that remotely.
Okay. All right. Well, don't be too remote.
Yeah, no, well, I'm not remote any longer.
And we've been talking with?
Chris Monteith.
Thanks.
And, of course, what I really need to do is give you some indications of Chris Monteith's background as an employee of some of the different city programs. And the problem, as you'll hear Berkeley activist Carol Denny later talk about, is that when you're getting money from the city, it necessarily puts blinders on you and gags you to some extent from being a critic of that city's policies. And Brent Adams actually has talked about that with respect to himself. And that's one of the criticisms that some activists have had of activist Brent Adams. Is that he has made a lot of harsh criticisms of protesters because of his belief that in Santa Cruz, the kind of protests that activists like the Food Not Bombs and Huff activists who've been supporting the survival sleepers and the freedom sleepers in the last 2 years at City Hall and elsewhere have simply alienated the middle-class community instead of building up a model alternative program, which is what he has been trying to do with his sanctuary camp, sanctuary village, warming center, and other programs. And he has acknowledged that the danger he has is he's also, and I think this is, I think, the strong side, or at least the side I find most valuable of Brent Adams, he does a lot of documenting about homeless activity and the abuses that they suffer from city authorities. And that is really very important. You can find that on his Homeless Outside in Santa Cruz Facebook page, if you can get in there and check that out. And back now to the February 28th, Wednesday, last day of the San Lorenzo campground.
Let me get this from you, because this is for free. We're talking with
Leslie.
And Leslie, you said one of the concerns you have is apparently the River Street campground people are saying that people coming there can't bring their tents.
Well, they didn't say it to me. I just heard they said it to one of the guys down here that there's tents down there.
Well, maybe that means they're providing tents.
They're providing tents, but these guys already have their own, so they're afraid they're going to give their tent away and then get over there and find out that it's full.
Yeah, that's
then they're without everything.
That sounds like a fear. I'll ask to see what the latest story is.
And this story has a lot of additional wrinkles. We did find out, as you'll hear in a moment, that at least according to Chris Monteith, people will be both given tents and allowed to keep their own tents or to store them. But then what I heard and you're going to hear later in this broadcast from Brent Adams, is that the tents prove woefully inadequate during the rains that the River Street Campground city manager authorities provided, essentially soaking everything or soaking much of the bedding of the people who were there. And they're also being placed, as I was myself saying, within 2 or 3 inches of each other, which I guess isn't necessarily, well, it is a bad thing as far as I can see. But again, I haven't gotten a lot of reports that it's being badly received by those there. Storage ability, however, is reportedly much more limited than that initially proposed in a kind of a sunny way by one of the Keith's subordinates, Jennifer, who I spoke with and you may have heard on Thursday, who was really gushing about the prospects for the campground and how it, really she hoped it would expand to include other things. And indeed, that was the hope of some campers that, you know, since there's obviously very unlimited space within the area set up at the moment in that River Street campground, that they could expand it to up the river and down the river, and so they could actually start dealing with the needs of homeless people whose only shelter is a tent. I regard that as highly unlikely, but then again, I regarded suspension of the sleeping ban and moratorium on tickets and hassles in parks at night as unlikely, and apparently that has to some extent been happening over the winter, though, as I said as well, it's not necessarily continuing, and that is a real problem based upon what at least Brent Adams later describes as the crackdown against people that happened actually in the same day that you hear these interviews happening, Wednesday, the 28th of February.
Are they tents possibly?
That would be my thought. I suspect they're going to, that would be the reasonable thing to do, but, you know, do these people do the reasonable thing when they're hidebound by rules that they're told by the city council and by the city manager? They're operating under the city manager.
I think they have a good plan. I think that they're trying to be a blessing, and
I think they
did say there was some kind of storage, and they're planning coffee and a meal every day. So maybe I think they're trying to help those who really are seeking help.
Well, I think everybody is seeking survival one way or another.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, the idea that you have to seek help in order to be allowed to survive without being harassed is not my idea of a good idea.
Well, in a small camp, though, you got to weed out something.
Well, I know that. It seems to me it's very important these people be advocates for understanding that this is no solution other than if they were done maybe five times as big and five times as many, maybe, you know, but not... Otherwise, it seems to be a cover-up to close this campground down.
I just wish there was a warehouse or something to put them in. There's got to be some empty buildings, but maybe not.
We've been talking with...
Leslie.
Thank you, Leslie.
God bless you.
You too. Do are there tents?
We got 2 storage totes for every person.
And so people could bring their tents if they want.
Yeah.
If it fits into the 2 storage totes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
And the 2 storage totes, as I said, are about 2 feet by 1 foot in diameter, or I should say in length and width. And so the volume is rather limited for the amount of stuff that they seem to be allowing people to bring with them, at least on the Wednesday that I was looking at the situation. Again, don't know for sure.
You're welcome. For free radio?
Uh-huh.
Can I put this on free radio?
I don't care.
Go ahead, man.
You know, they open this up for the homeless people and everything. They should just let people be. You know, so what? There's dope dealers and people running around doing drugs. So what? They're not bothering anybody.
And he's talking about the campground that they're destroying, the San Lorenzo campground at San Lorenzo Park, that is closing that very day of these interviews.
How long have you been here yourself?
About a year.
And how long have you been in the campground?
No longer than a year. You know.
The campground hasn't really existed except since October, right? As a campground.
October 31st, yeah.
And what is? And you've been here since then?
Yeah, I've been homeless for over 19 years. So.
What's your experience in the campground compared to other places you've been as a person outside?
You know, hey, it's peaceful, you know, nobody bothers anyone. You know, the only person that bothers people, you know, because he can't keep to himself is Gary Chief. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes in people's tents and steals stuff, you know. But what can you do about it? It happens all the time, you know. And he harasses the disabled people, you know. And, you know, to me, that's wrong. You shouldn't harass anybody. But you know what? When you're coming down off drugs, you know, what can you do?
Have you lost much of your stuff here?
Yeah. I lost a brand new sleeping bag, you know, where you take the charger down to the library and charge it. It has heating and cooling, you know. Had a DVD player stolen, you know. What can you do, you know? You can't stop it, you know.
Is it better or worse than elsewhere that you found?
Better, you know, but hey, you know.
Still not the best.
Right. You know, it's a place to stay and sleep, you know, but...
Are you signing up for this campground over on River Street?
Yeah, you know, have no choice, you know. Where else am I going to go? You know, you can't go down by the businesses and camp out by the businesses.
Where do you think most people are going to go because they're not going to be able to get into this campground?
Well, you should make a space for them, you know.
Well, because they should, but what are they going to do, given the reality of what's happening now? Do you think they're going to be busted for camping elsewhere, or will there be a toleration policy?
They might be busted for trespassing.
Or camping after 11 o'clock at night, or raising up a tent at any time. What's your name, man, if you wish to say it?
Mark Dober.
And
I'm not afraid to say.
Good. Anything you want to add about this?
You know, they should just, you know, let the homeless people be. You know, they're, you know, at least they're not running the streets. At least they're not by businesses, you know.
I think that was the motivation in sending and directing them here. Right?
Yeah.
Now, did people, you know, have trouble getting into this space? Because I understand they kind of closed.
Well, see, there was, you know, it's one tent per space. But, you know, they wait till after 5 o'clock and, you know, there you go. Let their friends know, hey, come on, you know.
And that happened.
Because they know there ain't no rangers or nobody on duty.
And the next morning, did the rangers tolerate that, or was there a lot of trouble?
They didn't do nothing about it. Just let it continue, you know, as you could see.
And did that have a bad impact on anything, or was it a helpful situation?
That is very bad because then, you know, you got problems with the traffic, you know, and people trying to go inside your tent, you know. Hey, I'm peeping in. Would you like to get high? Would you like to fuck me? It's like, get out of here. I don't do drugs. Mm-hmm. You know.
How often did that happen to you?
It happens a lot. You know, but, you know, I don't let it get to me. I just say, sorry, I'm not interested. I've been clean for 19 years, been homeless for 19 years.
And that was enough for the person they just took off once you said that?
Yep. You know, they just went walking down the trailway saying, hey, you know, anybody want to get high? Anybody want to fuck me?
It didn't interfere
didn't
interfere with you.
That's right.
Even though, you know, some would say, well, this guy's clean and, you know, it's having people who are doing this is a real detriment, but you found you were able to deal with it yourself.
That's right. You know, because, hey, you know, I know how they feel because I was the worst drug addict ever. Any type of drug. Acid, PCP, you know. I was, you know. That's why I could actually kick back and say, look how stupid that looks. You know what I mean? But I don't make fun of them, because when you make fun of them, it just makes them want to go off on somebody, you know. So I just stay to myself.
And we've been talking with?
Mark Dover.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, have a good one.
McAllister pen. There he got his parole after four long years on a man. man killing charge. Tom Joad come walking down the road, poor boy. Tom Joad come walking down the road. Tom Joad, he met a truck driving man. There he called him a ride. He said, I just got loose from McAllister Pen on a charge called homicide. A charge called homicide. That truck rolled away in a cloud of dust. Tommy turned his face toward home. He met Preacher Casey and they had a little drink, but they found that his family, they was gone. He found that his family, they was gone. He found his mother's old-fashioned shoe, found his daddy's hat, and he found little Muley, and Muley said, they've been tractored out by the cats. They've been tractored out by the cats. Tom Joad walked down to the neighbor's farm, found his family. They took Preacher Casey and loaded in a car, and his mother said, we've got to get away. His mother said, we've got to get away. Now the 12 of the Joads made a mighty heavy load, but Grandpa Joad did cry. He picked up a handful of land in his hand, said, I'm staying with the farm till I die. Yes, I'm staying with the farm till I die. They fed him short ribs and coffee and soothing syrup, and Grandpa Joad did die. They buried Grandpa Joad by the side of the road, Grandma on the California side. They buried Grandma on the California side. They stood on a mountain and they looked to the west, and it looked like the promised land. That bright green valley with a river running through, there was work for every single hand. They thought there was work for every single hand.
So I went back to the San Lorenzo campground, or I should say the San Lorenzo Park area, where there was a campground the day before as it was being demolished. And by the time I got there in mid-afternoon, Thursday, March 1st, it was simply, after the heavy rain of the night before, kind of a swampy area surrounded by barricade fences, at least on the path side. The path between the county building and the footbridge was lined with these barriers. And I had some interviews with folks who were still kind of lingering around, some miserable in the cold. There was still a light rain occasionally hitting. And you get to hear it now.
Let's hear about it.
I haven't seen any food.
So, was there supposed to be food here? And I'm down here at the San Lorenzo campground. It's actually, we're on the street.
At first there was, but there's hardly any support from the city. Or.
And we were actually on the sidewalk next to Dakota Street.
From the localization organization, people that like supposed to help out, like for the homeless services, they normally would bring us food, but it's only cut down. It's only like every once in a while we get a lunch bag, or if we get to see some soup. We just don't see them anymore. I don't know what happened to them.
You don't say.
See you later, Jeremiah.
All right, God bless you. God bless you, babe.
So Jeremiah, where are you sleeping tonight?
I have no idea. They keep pushing me around.
Where were you last night?
Last night I was at the corner house. At the corner house right there, at the doctor's house.
Was that those outside?
Yeah, I was outside.
Any hassles?
There was a lot of hassles before that. I got a ticket just because I was sitting by the creek right there where they have benches and where they have seats. And the officer just came to me, very sarcastic. He had a discriminative format of just encountering with me, just seeing the way he assumed. And
how long ago was this?
Yesterday he gave me a ticket just because I was sitting there, and he says, "What do I have in my hand?" And all I had was my pipe, my marijuana pipe, and my lighter. And I wasn't smoking. I just had it in my hand. And he just came to me, and he just says, "Well, you can't be loitering here." So he gave me a ticket. So wherever I went, wherever I kept moving, wherever I kept walking, the enforcers and the police officers kept giving me a hard time.
And so that happened. You got one ticket yesterday?
I got a ticket for being hassled, just because I was sitting there.
Cop or ranger?
A police officer.
You know his name?
No, sir.
It's all right. What time of day was it?
Like around this time on the other side right there.
And generally speaking, have you gotten tickets for sleeping outside recently or not?
When I got here, yeah.
How long ago?
Like 6 months ago.
And since then?
I got another ticket.
You got that ticket yesterday.
Yeah.
What about sleeping?
That's for being hassled.
What about sleeping? I understand they laid off the sleepers. Is that true or not?
They just tell us to get up and move on.
I got you.
And everywhere we go, wherever we lay, they wake us up and they tell us to move on. It's just I don't get enough sleep.
And we've been talking with?
You've been talking to Jeremiah, the holy prophet.
Thanks, Jeremiah. This should be on free radio tonight.
Guadalupe Sandoval?
You're also Guadalupe Sandoval.
Yes,
because Guadalupe Sandoval, when he was born dead. The baby was dead, so I was stuck with his name. What Jesus did, God replaced a dead body baby with the baby, that angel baby.
He said. I don't entirely understand, but I'm passing it on. And it's not quite raining. Well, it's misting as I walk past the duck pond from the side road toward the bridge, and toward now it is a completely fenced off, or at least significantly fenced off area. That's the San Lorenzo benchlands. There are a couple of folks with tents out here on the grassy area outside the fence, and the porta potties are still up. I'm not sure if they're clean or not. And there's still folks around with bicycles and so forth. Looks like that could be Dreamcatcher. Hey, man, have a flyer?
What's that for?
Oh, it's about places to go if you're outside.
I'm all right, man.
Good?
Yeah.
You take care. All right. Hey, Dreamcatcher.
How you doing?
Propaganda.
I'm walking to be homeless tomorrow. The vet people came out and picked me up for their program.
That's great. So what is their program?
I don't know. I told them to surprise me. I'm willing to go. Just be here, and I'll be ready to go. Packing my stuff right now. Got my bike. Yep. I guess I'm going clamping with the clampets.
Well, that's to make sure the bike doesn't get taken, or?
No, it's just I'm going clamping.
What does a clamper do?
They clamp out.
I see.
Oh. Get clamping tickets for the clamping.
Oh,
the
you're.
Clamp site.
I see. I'm gonna clamp down on you if this keeps up.
Well, you already been clamped.
Wow, the bench sounds looks like a marsh as I look
yes,
over.
That's a hazardous waste site. Yes, wow. Each week there's enough hazardous waste there to qualify it for a serious hazardous waste site.
So you've indicated, I think, in the past. What do you notice from folks outside? Are people out? A lot of people can't have got no other place to go now because the River Street campground is full up. What do you predict ahead?
They're going to have to expand and make another site just like that on rocks, good drainage. And if people want to be comfortable, well, then put cardboard down or bring in pallets. I think it's
and
a very organized.
Martin Bernal, the city manager, do that kind of expansion. You have more hope than I do.
Yes, I do, because it's going to be needed.
Oh, it's been needed for years, man.
Well, okay.
Instead, they took all your stuff and wouldn't give it back to you, remember?
That's right.
Yeah.
They make the, finding the key to the midway you know, impossible. It's a joke.
But you're still looking.
No, I'm not. I got a new bike. I got a new guitar. I don't need a trailer anymore. I'm getting my teeth pulled in. To hell with the retrieval. I don't care.
No, I hear you. It's just,
I mean, they did get, you know, my Christmas presents, all my collections, of, you know, that I've been able to, you know, the only thing that
the
survived.
Question is, are they still doing it to others? Have you heard anything about that?
Well, they clean up things, okay? Now, what's decided, you know, you get a guy like me to go out and walk with the Rangers, you know, I can help them know what the difference between shit and Shinola might be. I think they're doing a pretty good job lately. I mean, I'm not a special case, but I don't know. I think
you
I'm special.
You are so even-tempered about this whole thing, except when you're pissed, of course.
Well,
I've seen you angry, but even your anger is pretty well controlled.
Yes, because I got it so well rehearsed, and given the opportunity to get equal airtime, I will express myself the way that I'm feeling. Not that it's going to be a, you know.
Is this a Seagull a friend of yours?
All seagulls do 200 miles an hour, and yes, they're friends of mine.
Well, we'll leave it at that. Anything you want to add?
I want to add two and two to make five.
Sometimes that's the case. I know sometimes one and one makes three, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I do. I like that part. Mm-hmm. I had a friend.
Liar?
Things are going to shape up. I mean, curfews are kind of rough. I never made one, you know, because, you know, when the business is good, I work, you know, when I don't look at a clock. You know, that's why I've never really been successful at rehabs or, you know, restricted comings and goings, you know. Just come and go, you're clocked in, clocked out, okay, so what? If you're you know, too bad of shape, we'll know.
You and your clamper here on the bike, and we'll talk to you again. We've been talking to
Dreamcatcher, and thank you, everybody, for your support. Things have been coming my way like wishes.
You're welcome. Yeah, we're talking with
John.
And John, you're out here with a mega umbrella. Looks like some of your stuff, but there aren't many people outside this fence. There aren't many people on the other side of the fence. Looks like the rains have pretty much turned it into a marsh. Were you previously in the campground?
Well, over the years, I've been across many campgrounds, and I laid my head is my home. This one here, I just come across this one here in this beautiful tribe of people. And
how long ago?
I believe a couple months ago.
And were you living here for a while, or no?
No, I was traveling.
Visiting. Yeah, did you ever pitch a tent over there?
No, I have not.
That's okay. I'm not going to hold it against you.
Actually, where I lay my head is my home, and I kind of keep my pack on my back.
Any tickets for camping recently?
Any tickets for camping? No, just basic rustling, but the probably like here, move there, move here, there. Nobody really messed me for where I sleep or lay my head.
How'd you weather the rain last night?
Well, only by the grace of God, and then praying for a shower, you got to be careful for what you ask for.
You floated away, you're still here.
God will still give us.
So did you stay dry or were you soaked?
Well, a little bit of rain to the feet, to the core, but no, dry and good to go.
Yeah. Have you seen any police action out here today?
No, not so far today.
How long have you been sitting where you're sitting here at this sort of right near the bridge, the footbridge?
Well, I've been sitting here for about 40 minutes here, I believe.
I was wondering, because they said they were going to let people stay there for a while, though it doesn't look too habitable down there. Anyway, thank you.
What do you think about the grounds here now that are, like, how do we, after 1,000 tents have been there for years, how do we rehab it?
Well, I think they'll probably put in some more grass, and they'll renovate it, and they'll cook it up for, you know, whoever, some groups that want to use it to make money, you know, the festivals.
Right.
But the people that were using it for survival purposes will no longer be able to use it, which I find unfortunate.
Yes, me as well. As being one of the co-founders in California Coalition Against Homelessness and for our free right and will to live as human beings, I believe that's why they don't mess with me too much. Where I lay my head is my home. I don't necessarily have to pick a certain camping spot on the planet Earth to live. I'm a human being.
And insist on being treated like one.
Absolutely. And you know what? Without all of y'all and us together, we don't have. Without all of us, we don't have.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you. We've been talking with...
John.
Thank you, man. And luckily the weather is still... No, thank you for holding it down. So, I see crows and seagulls in areas where people once had their tents. Looks like the area has been completely cleaned up, or should we say removed all trace of homeless stuff. There are still some few storage containers down there. And I guess there's some folks doing some... Someone is walking down the walkway to the pathway down there to perhaps deal with some garbage areas. And there's not much here to see. If there was a police clearing, I didn't get to see it. That's fine. Maybe not. I don't know. It's not clear where people went, but they are not here anymore. And that's the report from around 3:15 in the afternoon at San Lorenzo Park. I gotta go. Another time, man. Off by the side here at the road across from the apartments, across the street, near the sidewalk, there's a couple of deposits of homeless property covered by tarps. And a few homeless folks on the sidewalk, through clumps of homeless belongings, and a few homeless people lingering. One guy sleeping under a tarp on the sidewalk, somewhat against the rain. There's about half a dozen homeless folks here.
Oh, for this new fucking campsite.
Right.
Isn't it? Oh, yeah.
And so are they scheduled to come here to pick you up? Are they not here?
I don't know. Like, they didn't give us...
All morning.
Yeah, we've been here all fucking day.
And where did they tell you to stand for this stupid shuttle?
Well, this morning, the shuttle was picking us up over by the courthouse, and then we were told over here, and I've been here since this morning. I don't even know what fucking time it is.
In the rain, it's 3:30, about 3:15 or thereabouts. Who told you to come over here?
The people that are doing the shuttle.
And they didn't give you a phone number to call or anything like that?
No, they didn't.
I don't have a phone number either, but I don't work with them either. But you have a reservation over there?
Yeah, I do. I've got the ticket in my pocket right now.
What you need to do is have somebody call them. I don't know who that would be. Let me see if... You probably want to call, what's his name, Monteith.
Chris?
Chris Monteith, yeah.
I don't have his number.
I'll see if she might have it. I'll ask her. How did you do last night for free radio? How'd it go?
It's fine. I stayed dry. I was in my tent last night here at the park, and I didn't get fucked with.
What time? How many tents would you left here at the park last night?
So what?
How many tents, how many folks were able to stay here?
A lot of them. Yeah. There's a lot.
I notice they're all gone now.
Yeah.
Well, they told us yesterday there was supposed to be 72 hours extension to move. And then, like, they came this morning and they say, like, you guys got into 12. What kind of joke is that when they told us that we...
And apparently, at least according to these two folks, the Wednesday deadline was extended, and they were told it was for 72 hours, according to what they say. But the next day, they were all cleared out anyway. That was the Thursday morning, the morning of the afternoon when this interview is taking place.
Keeps changing mind. We were told yesterday afternoon that we had until Friday. And then after midnight last night, the cops rolled through the park with flyers saying that the city changed their mind and we had until this morning to get out.
Did they give you a place to go?
No.
Yeah, they give you 4 people tickets to go to the hotels. Not to everybody, just like here.
They gave a few vouchers to people.
Four vouchers for hotels to people, and then look at me all way because I didn't even have my tent. I didn't even have a place to stay. I stayed outside.
It was pretty heavy last night.
My umbrella on the rain, man.
I see a guy sleeping over there in the rain too.
You see my eyes all like I didn't even have a rest. I didn't even sleep not even an hour, man.
And we're talking with
Rafael Saldana.
Thank you, Rafael. And we've been speaking with
Shorty.
Of course. Sorry, Shorty. I keep forgetting who you are. Yeah. All right. Let me see if we can find you a number for Montes. So we're talking with, say who you are.
Chris Montes.
And Chris, you said you were advised by police that they had to clean it out at noon today. And so you said everyone who wanted to come was able to come. Before we hear more from Chris Montes, you should understand that this conversation happened about 20 or 30 minutes later than the last conversation with Rafael and Shorty, and it happened at a different location. I was driving out of town on Highway 9. I saw the campground. There was still some unloading and unloading going on the other campground, the River Street Boneyard campground, and I stopped and was able to have this brief chat with Montes, who I told was, you know, I told him about Shorty, and he gave me another story about her. He said that, oh, well, we gave her a ride down in the morning. But again, since you're not allowed to walk back to the campground, if your possessions and your tent are there, or the tent they've set up for you or the tent you brought along at the River Street Boneyard campground, then you need to be able to get back there. And they've claimed that they have a shuttle service you can use. And if they don't come where they say they're going to come, which I don't know if it's true or not, but that was Shorty's claim, then you're stuck. Because if you show up without being on the approved shuttle, you may be penalized for doing that or evicted. I'm wondering if that isn't the case. So let's hear some more. Transportation through your service.
Yes. We brought their gear and them personally here. Everyone that we contacted who wanted to come came.
Now, were you around when this was happening? I mean, did you see the number of people that came in this morning? Was there a large number of people? Or
You have to explain that to me. What do you mean?
In other words, did you see you were involved in the transportation of
yes.
the... And how many folks would you say you transported?
Probably nine.
And did you see how many tents were left there when you first showed up at the campground this morning?
Oh, I didn't count, but someone said there was maybe 30.
And the campground I'm referring to, of course, is the San Lorenzo campground. Montes was responsible for shuttling people, or he and his employees, from the campground down in San Lorenzo Park up to the River Street Boneyard campground. And at the time that he spoke, I was sort of being reassured that, oh, we got them up there, which may well be true, but if they then left to come back and pick up other things or engage in other business in town as adults, even poor adults, even unhoused adults, even adults if they have drug addiction problems, I don't know if these two do or not, or if Shorty does, but unless you're in some sort of a concentration camp where you're not allowed to do that. And, of course, that's been the practice with shelters in Santa Cruz and in other cities that you're they actually exclude you. They have in the past excluded you during the day. And that this is a difference with the current Boneyard campground is you're not excluded during the day. You're, in a way, you're not really compelled to stay there, but you can't walk away from there. I guess it was said that there's a bus line across the street. Maybe you can walk to the bus. But they have guards observing all this outside. They have both the monitors inside, as mentioned before, that are the street team. They have the first alarm security outside. Then they have the police department across the street. I mean, it's just an incredible level of surveillance and police state activity for a group of people that was self-managing at the San Lorenzo campground that could have continued to self-manage there, at least the ones that were permitted in. They were also limited in numbers, but not as limited as this Boneyard campground, and not under as oppressive conditions in terms of coming and going and privacy and the right to have visitors and proximity to the downtown and even to services. So there.
I didn't count on
it. Are you suggesting that most of the folks didn't want to come? Was that the idea?
Some of the tents may have been abandoned. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they were all occupied or not.
No, I understand. Yesterday, I think you told me, or Jennifer told me, maybe Susie told me, that the place was pretty much full up. As far as there are people, there's a waiting list, but again, the 30 tents that that Chris Monteith is referring to were the 30 tents left in San Lorenzo campground on Thursday morning after the so-called deadline had passed, but supposedly they'd given another 72 hours, but in the middle of the night, according to Shorty, they came and said, no, you have to be gone by the next day. 30 tents were there, so 30, and then, of course, Monteith is suggesting, well, maybe there weren't any people in them, you know, well, maybe there were, and maybe there weren't. Maybe that was homeless possessions. People were waiting to come back and reclaim if they could, which is what they were able to do, to maintain a certain security in their campground over the last 4 or 5 months by having neighboring tents keep an eye on it. Now, of course, the security is become a form simply of bureaucratic regimentation. If you follow the dictates of the Boneyard campground managers, if you can deal with it,